You're listening to Arsenal for Democracy. I'm your host, Bill Humphrey. Joining me in studio this week again is Nate. Nate, welcome back to the program.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
And on the line from Maryland is Greg. Greg, welcome.
Thank you.
So this week, the three of us, or specifically the two of you, are going to be talking about some sports stories that are, have political connections that we've already talked about on the show, in particular Michael Sam. Greg, why don't you get us started on that story?
So as you were saying, we have talked about this on the show probably, you know, a month and a half ago, around the time of the NFL Combine and the announcement. But as a quick refresher, Michael Sam is a gentleman from the University of Missouri who won the Southeastern Conference Defensive Player of the Year award last season. He also came out publicly as gay, and this was immediately before the NFL draft. A lot of people were wondering how this announcement that he was gay and that if he was to join the NFL, he would be the first openly gay player in the NFL was going to affect his draft stock. Nate and I talked about this for a good bit. And finally, we have some answers about how this affected his draft stock. The draft was last weekend, or rather last week, and Michael Sam had to wait a long time, but he was drafted in the seventh round by the St. Louis Rams. So, Nate, I just wanted to get your thoughts, kind of what this means for what we were talking about in terms of acceptance in the NFL and kind of what your reaction to him being drafted so late or things like that.
Yeah, one thing I think that happened in the intro between this show and the last one was the NFL Combine. And for our listeners, that's basically this big event where all the draft prospects run around, they time them for speed. They do some drills like catching balls or just trying to test out their strength or jumping ability, stuff like that. And on a lot of the combine tests, Michael Sam actually did not perform all that well. He was one of the slower people at his position and maybe couldn't jump as high as others. So basically, that was a little bit of a knock on him entering the draft process itself, just because, you know, people weren't sure that he had the athletic ability to play at the NFL level, independent of his coming out. And obviously those two intertwined. You know, why do we want to take a risk on someone who probably can't play anyway? I think some teams said to themselves. But fortunately, the St. Louis Rams did not see it that way. Just for a little background, the St. Louis Rams actually have one of the strongest defensive lines in all the NFL. And they just took their first round pick was a guy named Aaron Donald, a defensive tackle, one of the more highly rated prospects. So I think we should look at this from both a societal perspective and also the football perspective, and that's as Sam is joining a situation where there are a lot of strong veterans already. He won't be called on to do a tremendous amount his first year in the NFL. He'll be able to just be a supplement to the guys that are already there and, you know, can really contribute in whatever way possible. So I think it's really an ideal situation for him. He's not being asked to jump in feet first. He has the support of veterans and can really, that'll probably help him improve his game over the course of, you know, 5-6 years that he'll probably spend with the Rams at least. So, you know, I think it's a good outcome for him. I remember watching the draft on day three, and at a certain point, all the guys that anyone had, you know, known about were off the board. And so the draft talking head just started chattering about Michael Sam. And at that point, it was like the sixth or seventh round. And so I was thinking, oh, maybe this guy won't actually be drafted. That'll be a pretty big story. And then I looked up and, you know, they were still talking about Michael Sam, but it was in context of, oh, the St. Louis Rams have just selected Michael Sam at number 249 overall. So yeah, I think this is a really good development. I mean, he was drafted probably around where his combine numbers would indicate. The fact that he was an SEC Player of the Year and had some intangibles probably helped him get drafted. So I think, you know, this is a good situation. As far as I know, there haven't been too many reactions from a negative standpoint, a lot of support. There were a couple people that tweeted out rather, you know, just general insensitive things following Sam tweeting out a picture of him kissing, I believe, his boyfriend after he got drafted.
It was caught live on ESPN that when announcement that he kissed his boyfriend, which was, you know, perfectly innocuous or whatever. And then somebody from the Dolphins he tweeted something dumb, and the Dolphins, trying to maintain their new face of non-bigotry, they kicked him to educational courses pretty fast.
Well, a side note on that, actually, following the Dolphins' first round pick of an offensive lineman, center Marquise Pouncey immediately said he was going to haze the guy, or implied that to a certain extent, I think, on live TV. So, you know, just I guess that's just Dolphins being Dolphins. You know, this, of course, Pouncey is a guy who sported a free Aaron Hernandez hat. Along with his brother, they big friends of his back in their Florida days, and they might go up on weapons charges together. So that remains to be seen. But, you know, so just the typical, you know, low-life reaction to this. I think in general, most people are pretty supportive. And, you know, at this point, it's sort of, I wouldn't say it's become a non-issue because obviously he hasn't started playing yet. But there was a certain point a couple months ago where everyone was talking about a 24/7 for maybe about a week or two. And then it sort of died down. And, you know, now it just sort of took seventh round pick. He's going to help out the Rams defensive line, which is already quite good. So he's going into a good situation.
Yeah, I think you brought up a good point, Nate, that he's not going to be called upon into quote-unquote active duty immediately, so the spotlight is not necessarily going to be on him from a production standpoint, and so I think that that will allow him to sort of mature as a football player and get his feet under him and sort of become accustomed to the NFL locker room, and hopefully, you know, he has a good experience, and by all accounts, with, you know, a few notable exceptions like you were talking about, Don Jones, the Miami Dolphins safety who was suspended for his comments that he tweeted. There's actually been a lot of support. In fact, Michael Sam, his jersey is the number two selling rookie jersey among all rookies drafted during last week's NFL draft, which is incredibly impressive given the fact that he was, you know, he was drafted in the seventh round. There is one person that had a more popular jersey that was drafted last week, and that was Johnny Manziel.
Oh, no. Okay. I was wondering if it was going to be that Patriots quarterback. Is that
Garoppolo? We got to keep a seamless transition from Brady onto the next handsome quarterback.
They have to be model date worthy.
But I mean, I think it's notable because he is number two, and the guy that was drafted first in the draft, Jadeveon Clowney, is number three. So there is definitely at least a great deal of fan support behind him, and they're putting their money where their mouth is. I mean, these jerseys aren't cheap, and to have him have the number two selling jersey among rookies, and I believe the number 10 jersey among all NFL players is you know, a testament to the fact that NFL fans were very excited about this happening and are looking forward to cheering him on.
I think one thing that's happened in the past decade or so in terms of NFL, at least since I've been watching, is it's become much more of a mass media, mass consumption type of sport. You look at the expansion of fantasy, you look at all the different channels you can get games on now, and the way that they're really going out of their way to appeal to women, to appeal to all sorts of target groups rather than just sort of the typical, you know, hardcore football fan. I think this is really having an impact because, you know, we've seen society at large become much more accepting of gay individuals and celebrating their courage in certain aspects. And, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there, whether they're gay or not, that, you know, would like to support that. So buy a jersey or buy some merchandise or become a fan of the Rams and just watch them and watch their product. This is part, I think, of expanding the NFL fan base even further towards whether it's the LGBT community or, you know, just people that maybe they don't like the all the violence or something in football, but they think that, oh, this player, you know, has a lot of courage and I like him, so I'm going to watch this team.
Maybe they like the storyline.
Yeah, they like the storyline or, you know, how he was able to come out in his college and, you know, be accepted by everyone and, you know, really improve their record following it. So there's really a lot of things to like about this whole situation. And I'm glad he was drafted. I think he still would have been picked up by a team if he hadn't been drafted. There are a lot of players that don't get drafted and still find their way onto teams. But I think it is better that he got drafted. It's sort of a set-in-stone pick. We want this guy. We think he can do something for us, even if it is in the seventh round. There are seventh-round players that go on to do big things all the time. And especially the defensive end position, oftentimes you'll find very productive guys who were not necessarily drafted in the first round. So I just think there's a lot to like about this, and the Rams probably are one of the better destinations for him. I know we were talking about the Patriots earlier. They picked a couple different defensive ends, so and they, I guess, had more glaring holes. So if you're a team like the Rams, where you have a lot of starters already, you can go ahead and sort of take a flyer on a guy who, you know, you don't necessarily know if he will be able to play at this level, but you think he has good intangibles and has a history of good play, so figure out if he can do it and help your team out. So I think from a football perspective, it's a good move. From a NFL general perspective, a society perspective, I think this is the beginning. We're really going to start moving in the next couple of years on this issue, so just it's good to see the beginning.
Now, I think that we can't really bring this up without bringing up the other related story that we had covered at the same time before a little bit, or at least mentioned Jason Collins, who at the time we last looked into this had come out but was not actually playing on a team. And he's, you know, in the NBA, different sport, but it seemed like maybe his transition back into active play was aided by Michael Sam coming out, and then his playing then probably also helped make sure that Michael Sam got drafted. I don't know, I don't really follow any of these, but if you want to, if one of you wants to talk about Jason Collins getting back into active NBA play.
Yeah, okay, well, he got picked up by the Brooklyn Nets, who are in the playoffs right now against Miami Heat. I've been watching a bit of that series because I'm a huge fan of Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, ex-Celtics, and obviously, you know, it's a good friend of mine was a Heat fan, so I've been watching a fair amount of Heat. But I don't think he's been called upon to do too much this series, just because he's sort of a bench player, rotational guy, just at his age, and he's not being called upon as much. But I think he has been playing some minutes. But he was playing a fair amount towards the end of the season, I think. And he's further on in his career. I think he's over 30.
Yeah, he's 35.
Yeah, so I think the fact that he was picked up by, especially the Brooklyn Nets, who are a newer team. They just moved from New Jersey. They have championship aspirations and a crazy Russian owner. So I think it was partly a move to just sort of, not necessarily a media move, but it was just sort of to rectify the situation where he was just sort of sitting there, bring some positive attention to the team, see if he can contribute. This is not necessarily a guy who would have a tremendous impact, regardless of whether he had come out or not, and may well have just sat on the sidelines or not been able to find a team regardless. But I think the fact that they know that it's only a positive move from their standpoint, from the Nets standpoint, there's really no cost to it. I thought they did a good job at bringing him in, and he's had some minutes. He's contributed. Just sometimes, especially in basketball, you need to keep rotating guys in just to make sure people don't get too tired.
Has his jersey been doing pretty well too? I think that's been popular, and I think he's been in some of the like recent pride parades and everything. Yeah. I mean, he had been before, but now he's, you know, a player and everything. Greg,
I think that it wasn't certainly a guarantee between the time that we've talked last about Jason Collins and now that he was going to find a team. And when he did find a team, I don't think that it was a guarantee that he was actually going to stay on that team. I mean, originally he signed a 10-day contract, and then he signed another 10-day contract after that original 10-day contract was over. And I think when, you know, the world didn't end, when Jason Collins played, and there was actually a really nice moment when he finally, you know, was picked up by the Brooklyn Nets on that first 10-day contract, and they were playing away. I don't recall exactly where they were playing, but they were playing away, and he didn't start, but when he was substituted in, there were some people there at the stadium that were paying attention, and he got a little bit of a standing ovation, and I thought that was cool, especially among, I guess, quote-unquote unfriendly fans. They were on the road. And I think that, you know, some people there realized that it was sort of a historic moment, that this was essentially the first openly gay player stepping onto, you know, the quote-unquote field of battle, whether it's the court or the field or what have you. You know, in the history of the four major sports in the United States of America, which is typically baseball, basketball, football, and hockey. And so, you know, it was certainly a momentous occasion. And I think that Jason Collins has taken advantage of it. And I'm very happy that the Brooklyn Nets are playing the Miami Heat in the playoffs right now, because it continues to put this openly gay athlete on this national stage. And so everybody is realizing that, you know, this guy can contribute to a team that has a chance to win an NBA championship, depending on who you ask. I think that
not a great chance.
Right, exactly. I don't think that they're going to beat the Heat, but that, you know, the Heat are two-time defending champions. But certainly I think that it's a good thing where there's an openly gay athlete, and it's you know, playing on a national stage. And so if you're turning on TNT at any point during the postseason, you could probably see Jason Collins play. And I think that that's sort of a testament to the fact that there's not really all of the issues that people talk about when they talk about openly gay athletes and how it will affect team unity and how are people supposed to act around them in the locker room and how, you know, what is the line that they cannot cross, which maybe they have used certain language with their other teammates that may make an openly gay athlete uncomfortable. I think that continuously having this player in the national spotlight belies the fact that all of these concerns are really sort of unfounded.
Yeah, the shower concern, I think, being paramount. And it just, when you actually have these guys in the locker room, people, I think, have just realized that it's actually a totally overblown sort of gay panic type of situation where, I mean, there have been situations in the past where people have known their teammates were gay and just it didn't matter. And that's something that never came up. I mean, people have some strange imaginations when it comes to these types of things. And, you know, I just don't think that would be the way that a professional athlete would conduct themselves around their teammates. So, you know, I just don't think that's a concern that has really any basis in reality. And I mean, I think we're proving that. So
to return back to Michael Sam and his team, I thought that from a historical standpoint, this was actually a very interesting move because there's a lot of symmetry here. So the Rams as a franchise back in 1946, they were in Los Angeles and they were actually the first team in the NFL to draft an African-American player. They drafted a running back from UCLA by the name of Kenny Washington in the 1946 draft. And he played in the 1947 season. And while we can't draw exact parallels between the two, because obviously there weren't closet African-American players in the NFL, whereas Michael Sam, I don't think that anybody is under the impression that there's never been a gay player in the NFL. It's just that he is the first openly gay player in the NFL. I think that it's very fitting that the Rams as a franchise were the organization that decided to take this chance, that are aware of their historical importance. They actually drafted the first African-American player in the NFL before Jackie Robinson was playing for the Dodgers. I don't think it's any coincidence that that both of these things happened perhaps during the 40s, the late 40s. You know, there was a lot more acceptance of this, at least among people who owned sports franchises, at the very least. So I think from a historical standpoint, from this sort of symmetry, I think is quite cool.
Greg, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Nate, thank you so much for being in studio.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
And that's all the time we have this week. Thanks for listening to Arsenal for Democracy. Tweet us your comments at AFDRadio or email AFDRadio@gmail.com. The show is available for download from arsenalfordemocracy.com on Wednesdays. You can also hear it on the air in Delaware from 91.3 FM WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern. Special thanks to my voiceover man, Justin. You can follow his work at the Digitized Ramblings of an 8-Bit Animal from 8BitAnimal.com. You can get additional commentary at ArsenalForDemocracy.com daily, as well as links to articles discussed today. From my studio in Newton, Massachusetts, I'm Bill Humphrey, and I approve this message. Good night.